Welcome to In the Hive. I'm Roger McDonough. The coronavirus crisis is not just a public health crisis. It is that, fundamentally. People's lives are at risk, and the precautions that we're taking now are about preventing the spread of the disease, keeping patient numbers down at hospitals, and ultimately ensuring that people who get severely ill can get the care they need and recover. But there are also cascading economic implications to this crisis. The business that isn't bringing in profits can't pay its employees. Its employees, in turn, can't pay their rent. And then the landlord can't pay her mortgage, and so on, and so on. Today on the program, we're talking about the relief effort underway, the huge government spending happening to help businesses and organizations remain afloat while all of us take the measures necessary to save lives. First up, we'll hear from
Christopher Stever. I am the Deputy District Director here at the SBA Utah District Office.
The U.S. Small Business Administration is serving as a conduit for federal relief money to get to employers so that they can keep making payroll to try to prevent those cascading impacts I mentioned before. Christopher, thank you very much for making time for this today. The reason that we wanted to talk to you is because the Small Business Administration, the SBA, is administering the Paycheck Protection Program, part of this relief package that was passed by Congress as we live through this crisis. And we've been hearing a lot about the idea of forgivable loans. That's what this program is essentially built around. What does the program do?
So, you know, at the highest level, the Paycheck Protection Program is designed to provide small businesses with funds to pay up to 8 weeks of payroll costs, which can include payroll benefits and a few other things. It's really just trying to get money into the pockets of small businesses so that they can continue to operate and support their employees, and so their employees can support their families.
These loans, as I understand, they are designed to be forgiven if you adhere to certain criteria. What are the criteria by which these loans will be forgiven? Maybe you can explain that.
No, absolutely. So if I could just take one step back, the loans are calculated based on the payroll costs that you've incurred for the same period last year. And so you're going to end up with a loan that, you know, is, you know, X size. And then during this period between February 15th and June 30th, you're going to have payroll expenses. And it's those costs that are going to reduce the amount of the loan that you have to pay back, and could entirely, you know, reduce the amount to zero. Therefore, the loan would be zero in the end. It would be essentially forgiven. In addition to those payroll costs, things like rent and utilities would also count towards reducing the amount of the loan that you need to pay back, or the forgivable amount, and interest on mortgages or their debt instruments incurred before the period of the loan. So it's pretty neat. The way that's going to work then is, you know, you will have a loan of a certain size, and then, you know, a certain amount may be forgivable, maybe the entire thing. If the entire thing isn't forgivable, you don't have enough eligible expenses, the loan simply is a loan going forward after that. If I could just add a few details about the loan terms itself, you know, it can have a max term of 10 years. The rate is capped at 4%. There are no fees, and there's a six-month deferment on payments if there's a portion of the loan that is not forgiven. So it's a pretty nice loan, you know. But otherwise, it's, you know, basically a loan. It's one of our standard loan programs that has been enhanced through the recent legislation.
With the exception that it, you know, could be forgiven and kind of as a sense, kind of turns it into a grant. And that's by design, right? I mean, you're trying to help businesses keep their employees.
It's in the name, Paycheck Protection Program. This is all about helping businesses protect their employees and keep their employees on the payroll. Like I said, so that money is going into their pockets and they're able to support their families.
This is big public spending, you know, to keep our economy operating. It's It's for businesses, it's for nonprofits. How does an employer, a business or an organization that is looking at this, how do they tap into these loans? What do they have to do?
So it's actually pretty simple. This is an enhancement to an existing SBA loan program, which we call the 7A loan program. Like most of the SBA loan programs, we provide a guarantee to lending institutions to make loans themselves. So what the borrower with the small business needs to do is they need to go to their lender and apply for a loan, in particular, this loan program. Now, not every lender is a participating SBA lender. A lot of them are. So if a small business already has a relationship with a lender, they should go to that lender and check out if they are a participating SBA lender, in which case they can, you know, do these PPP loans. If your regular lender is not an SBA lender, they may want to investigate becoming an SBA lender, which they can certainly do. But the borrower may have to, the small business may have to go to another institution, which should be fine. There's no reason you can't utilize more than one bank or credit union or other lender. But the small businesses should know that they may have to search for a participating SBA lender if they're not already involved with one.
Hey, SBA at its website says that lenders may begin processing loan applications as soon as April 3rd, 2020, meaning Friday. Can a lender, a bank or credit union or whoever it is, can they receive an application before that? Can someone already start the process?
They should talk to their lender and find out what the lender wants them to do. There's nothing that says a small business can't start talking to their lender today about the program and whether they are participating and whether they will be able to do these types of loans. What I will say is that the application form for this loan program is out in the universe. You can find it on the SBA website. If you go to sba.gov/disaster, you can find the PPP program. And there's a link on the PPP program page, that will take you to a sample of the form. It's really pretty straightforward, pretty streamlined, and that's on purpose. And there's really probably only about 2 pages of it that have information that the borrower needs to provide. Then there's a lot of language, some checkboxes and whatnot. But to your point, even though the 3rd is probably the earliest day lenders are going to be accepting applications, small businesses can access the form and start to think about the information they need to be providing.
How about how quickly funds will be released? Is that kind of case by case, or how is that decided?
These are bank loans. Right. SBA provides the guarantee. SBA is providing the forgiveness. But at the fundamental level, the bank is making the loan. I have heard that it could be 2 or 3 weeks, tip to tail. That I think would be great if that was true. But again, the borrower really should talk to their individual lender about that timeline. But hopefully small businesses will recognize the value, the opportunity in this program, and will move forward regardless of the timeline. But it should be fairly quick.
Okay. A couple of just final questions here. One is, I'm not certain we defined eligibility in terms of small businesses and organizations. Who are the entities that can access the Paycheck Protection Program?
Right. It's extremely broad. It's small businesses, nonprofits, as you noted, but that includes independent contractors, sole proprietors. The definition of what a small business is, for this program is going to be 500 employees or less. There is a caveat to that because there are some industries, sub-industries that will have some special cases where that might technically be larger than, they might have more than 500 employees, but they're going to need to check the SBA lists of size standards, as we call it, that list the employee sizes per industry type. And if I could just jump in with just a couple of notes on where to get help, you might not know where to get the size standard. Well, the first place you can always come to the SBA. You can not come physically to the SBA district office these days, but certainly you can reach out and communicate with us by email, by telephone. The email address for the district office is Utah General, all one word, no spaces, at sba.gov. And the phone number for the district office is 801-524-3209. Either of those avenues is a great way to get in touch with us if there's something that we can do to help. But I would also encourage small businesses to take advantage of our resource partners. And we have three core resource partners that I wanted to highlight. The first is the Small Business Development Centers here in Utah. There's 14 different centers, really easy to find online, Utah SBDC, all one word, .org. If you go to their website, they have an entire page on resources that is really comprehensive and super place for small businesses to go. They can also do counseling with small businesses. If small businesses are needing help with the application process for PPP, the SBDC is there to serve. Also, we have two women's business centers in Utah, one in Cedar City, one here in Salt Lake City. They actually work statewide between the two of them, but they are also really easy to find online, WBC Utah, again, all one word, .org. They also can provide counseling, et cetera, to small businesses around, you know, a whole variety of topics as they do normally, but also providing assistance with the PPP program.
Christopher, any final words of advice to small businesses and organizations who may be struggling right now? Anything you want to say to close this out, I guess?
What I would say is that we are doing here at the Utah District Office, the SBA nationally, all of our federal partners, all of our resource partners are doing everything we can to channel all the resources that we can to small businesses. I hope that small businesses know that they are not alone, that we are here to help in any way that we can. So I would not hesitate to reach out to us, our resource partners. I would not hesitate to, at the very least, look into these programs, the PPP program. If you go to the SBA website, you will also see a program called the EIDL program, which stands for Economic Injury Disaster Loans. We didn't talk about it today. We had a lot to talk about with PPP, but you know, look at the EIDL loan as well, and know that those can work in concert, but there are a lot of resources out there for you. And so don't give up hope. Please make a call before you do.
Again, that's Christopher Stever, Deputy District Director with the U.S. Small Business Administration. He's with the Utah District Office. You can find out more about the Payroll Protection Program by contacting your lender or by visiting sba.gov/coronavirus. Speaking of lenders, Utah banks say that they're ready and able to play their role in getting employers the funding they need. The SBA loans we've been discussing aren't traditional loans, and so the banks aren't reaping the same benefit they normally would in the form of interest payments. They are, however, getting a fee from the federal government to process these applications. But Howard Headley, president of the Utah Banking Association, says that's not really the point.
Honestly, banks are only as strong as the communities they serve. So we have an interest in keeping businesses alive and in getting this economy recovered. So we definitely have an interest in this. But in terms of the specifics of the program, no, we're just a conduit. There's $350 billion that Congress has appropriated. They want to get it to the right places, and they want to do it in an orderly fashion. Okay, there's going to be people that attempt fraud. We're going to catch them. We're going to catch that, but we're in a position to do that. Now, this isn't a traditional loan product that we're looking as a bank. We're just trying to play a role in being a conduit to get this money to the right people at the right time, get us through this window, this crisis, and then the economy will recover and we'll all get back to normal, hopefully, is the goal.
Again, that's Howard Headley with the Utah Banking Association. His organization has compiled a list of lenders where you can apply for those SBA forgivable loans tied to payroll expenses. You can find that list at utah.bank. So beyond the big federal stimulus coming through, local jurisdictions are also providing resources to help businesses and organizations struggling during this time. To get an overview of what's available locally, I spoke with Dina Blaze. She's Regional Development Director for Salt Lake County.
Thanks for the invitation.
One thing that the county has put together, I know, is a business relief hotline. What's that hotline all about? And I guess, you know, what's the number?
Yeah. Okay, great. So the number is 385-468-4011. And yes, we put it together because even our very knowledgeable staff has been receiving so many alerts from the federal government about the relief packages that we were even having some difficulty kind of wading through everything. So you can only imagine if you're a business owner in Salt Lake County and you are trying to figure out how to make payroll and how to pay rent, the last thing you have time to do is wade through a bunch of federal legislation to even determine whether or not your business is eligible for this support. So that is the entire purpose of this hotline, is to have one place that businesses of all sizes can go, make a phone call. We have trained individuals that are answering those calls to help business owners navigate all of the existing relief packages that are out there, the federal, state, and local level.
And again, the number is 385-468-4011, and I will put that at our show post as well at our website. Later on the show, we're going to have a conversation with someone about the forgivable loans that are offered through, they're through private lenders, but as a result of an act of Congress and through the SBA, Small Business Association. That's one of the tools in the toolbox that I'm sure that the people who answer those phone calls can talk about. On the other end of that spectrum, help at the local level. What kind of help is there for businesses in Salt Lake County who are, as you said, you know, maybe right now struggling to make payroll or pay rent and so on? Can you give us a kind of overview?
Yes, I can. But Roger, before we do that, if I can just say a couple of things that are really critical for those federal programs. If you are a business with an existing SBA loan, a non-disaster existing SBA loan, those folks should be immediately contacting their lenders and their bankers, because there is some debt relief, some deferment of those existing SBA loan payments that they need to look into, in addition to all of these other programs. The other thing I would say is that if you are a sole proprietor or a contractor, meaning if you get your, at the end of the year, you get a 1099 and not a W-2, you should also reach out to your lender, because those resources are available to those folks as well, and not everybody realizes that. So having said that, let's jump down to the local level. So as part of the county's effort, we established an economic impact working group. That working group has about 65 people in it, and they include folks from EDC, from the Gardner Policy Institute. But what I'm really happy to talk about is that it also includes every single economic development director from all the municipalities and the unincorporated county. So we are wanting to serve as a clearinghouse of information of all the things that are available at those local levels. So let me give you some examples of the kinds of things that cities are doing. Cities are relaxing their zoning or sign ordinances to allow sandwich signs or banner signs, so that those businesses who can continue to operate under the public health order, people know about it, and that they're doing so in a safe way where there's social distancing and hand washing and washing off cash registers and things like that. Many of them are also deferring any business license fees. So if your business license is due during this time, they're offering a deferral of that without any penalties. So that kind of thing is really helpful. They're also working through, we had a discussion yesterday, they're working through how to continue in the construction industry with inspections, permit inspections, and so forth. So we'll be bringing more resources to those cities with regard to that, and how do you do a building inspection safely and things like that. So they're really doing a boots on the ground kind of work with existing businesses that they see day to day. And it's been remarkable. And actually, most of them also have websites, web pages up. So Sandy City and Cottonwood Heights and Draper, they're all doing a lot to try to support their local businesses. And so the county is gathering all of this information, and it's available on our website, slco.org. And if you go to our county website, you'll see a banner that will connect folks with anything related to COVID-19. And all of these resources are under the economy subpage. So I would encourage people, if you're not sure what's available and you want to just check all the cities or figure out what's going on, you can go to our webpage. But most of these cities are putting up webpages to support their businesses.
Okay. In terms of, you know, local financial assistance, I know that there's the governor's office has, through GoEd, their own program. Salt Lake City has an emergency loan program. Can you talk about those sort of additional local funding resources, which I know are loans?
Absolutely. So Salt Lake City has an emergency loan program that they started that a while ago. They put $1 million aside for that. That's an important one. They've been doing it in two tranches. So they had a first sort of application process, and now they're doing a second application process. And if I am not mistaken, that deadline is actually this Thursday for those second round of loans. I'm going to pull up the information here, and we'll get back to that as we're talking.
I believe that that's okay. The case. Midnight Thursday.
Yeah. Midnight Thursday, you're right. The second one that I haven't heard as much about, which is just as important, is the help specifically for the restaurant and hospitality industry. They have been hardest hit. Your listeners may not realize, but in the last 3 weeks, the unemployment claims in the state of Utah have gone from about 1,300 the week of, I believe, the 7th to the week of the 15th of March, up to 8,000. And the week ending March 23rd, we were at 21,000 claims. Now, I also have been hearing from people saying they can't get through to the line to sort of do their unemployment claim. So we know that that number is going to continue to grow for a little while. That's a pretty significant steep climb of unemployment claims. And I can tell you that the majority of those that we have seen thus far have been in the food service and restaurant industry and hospitality industry. So there's a really great program that Ty Burrell and others have started. I'm just pulling up some information about it right now. It's called Tip Your Server. It's like a fundraiser. They're looking at trying to work with establishments that can select up to 5 employees to nominate for these $500 grants. And their goal is to raise more than $170,000. So it's also through the Downtown Alliance. So if you have questions about it or want to know more about it, I would suggest going to the Downtown Alliance's website, which is downtownslc.org/tipyourserver, and you'll learn a lot about what's been going on. In fact, they've already raised $173,000, and you can still donate. So I would strongly encourage any of your listeners, if they want to support that industry, to do so. Another way to support that industry is on the county's website. We do have what's called Boost Local Business Bingo. And it's on the county's website, again, under that economy subpage under the county heading. And it is a big bingo card. And it has things like buy a gift card from your favorite restaurant, take an online fitness class from a local studio, use electronic payments instead of cash. That's something that's been recommended as part of the health order. One thing you can do is tip big to delivery drivers and any food service that you're doing if you're doing takeout. And you may want to consider prepaying, if you're able, for any of your next kind of personal care appointments, your stylist, your hairstylist, if you get regular pedicures and manicures. These are the industries that are getting hit very hard. If you had scheduled that tattoo and you hadn't gotten it yet, you might want to go ahead and prepay for that as a means of helping these businesses with their cash flow right now. What's really important too is we're asking that anybody report any price gouging to 1-800-721-7233. That's really critical that people are not being taken advantage of unfairly in this situation as well.
And that's something that we have seen a little bit of in the news. Hey, what else do we need to know about resources available? Obviously, a lot of businesses that rely on physical customers, groups, or events, they're also not doing so well. You know, people who do ticket sales and so on. Toilet paper companies, I guess, are probably doing okay. But, you know, almost nobody else is. With the crisis expected to drag on, and it's hard to predict how long it will go on for, can a business owner out there, or for that matter, an individual, expect more, say, financial assistance? Is there more help on the way eventually?
Yeah. Yes, there is. Actually, I can tell you the county is working on a couple of projects, one of which I can share with you, and that is the county has an existing economic development revolving loan fund program. And we have received authorization from our partners in that program to go ahead and retool it to be much more responsive to what we are considering sort of the second wave of COVID-19 business concerns. I'll tell you, let me back up for a second. I should say that the Economic Impact Working Group at the county, because we have all of this information coming in and we understand that businesses that have existing SBA loans and so forth, they're getting the immediate help. What we are really concerned about paying attention to is who's slipping through the cracks. What companies are either not reaching out to their existing lenders, whether it be through issues with any language, which we're trying to translate as much information as possible into different languages to support as many businesses as we can at all levels. But I should say the other thing that we're worried about and concerned about is sort of the whole person. Like, you may be a business owner, but you also have employees. And what are those employees doing and what's happening to them as they're potentially losing their jobs? So there's a couple of things I should talk about. We have pooled about $2 million to help with rental assistance for folks that are in existing Section 8 public housing and working through the housing authorities, because the last thing the county wants to see is more people that will become unsheltered as a result of this crisis. So, and along the lines of sort of helping the whole person, what is happening with childcare facilities, wanting to make sure that they're going to be staying in business, especially for those emergency service providers that need that support. In addition to that, the utilities, so Rocky Mountain Power and Dominion Gas, as well as most of the water utilities, we have been talking to them, and they are also deferring payments right now during this time. So what we would do is encourage any homeowners or renters, anybody who has to pay a water bill, even a business, to contact that utility and let them know you're concerned and see what they can do. But they are deferring a lot of those payments. And again, those are resources that will be listed on our website, those local utilities and what they're doing to provide help. So you bring up a really good point about local support. It's not just about whether or not a business is generating sales tax. That's not the only thing the county is worried about. We're worried about the entire health, the depth of the health of those businesses with regard to the employees as well. And we've got two other projects that are in the works right now that I'm not at liberty to discuss, but I'm hoping we can maybe come back on your show and announce those maybe in the future.
We would love that. Dina Blaze, Regional Development Director for Salt Lake County, I really appreciate your making time for this. We remind us again of the hotline number that people who are, you know, especially businesses that are looking for help, can get some help.
Absolutely. The Business Relief Hotline at the county is 385-468-4011. Thanks so much, Roger.
Dina Blaze is Regional Development Director for Salt Lake County. There are still more resources out there. For example, tomorrow, the David Eccles School of Business at the University of Utah is hosting a free webinar entitled Navigating COVID-19, How to Save Your Business. It will be hosted by Mike Levitt, former Secretary of U.S. Health and Human Services and former Utah Governor, by current Utah Governor Gary Herbert, and by Senator Mitt Romney, as well as experts from the David Eccles School of Business. That's Friday, April 3rd, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will also be a video of that webinar available afterwards. Learn more at eccles.utah.edu. KCPW has also compiled a list of financial resources, many of which we talked about on the show today, some of which we didn't, including links to unemployment and a link to advice on communicating with your landlord while you wait for funding to come through. That's at kcpw.org. Or we'll also have a list of all of the links that I've been mentioning as part of today's In the Hive show post. Before we wrap up, I want to mention that KCPW is working on an hour-long documentary detailing the experiences of people working on the front lines of this crisis. Are you a healthcare worker? Do you work in an essential industry, maybe as a delivery driver or at a grocery store? We'd love it if you'd share your experience with us by recording answers to a few questions that we have. The central one is, what's it like where you work right now? You can record messages on your smartphones or send us an email and we'll call you back for a phone recording. Details at kcpw.org/yourstory. That does it for In the Hive. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks once more for tuning in. Both Sides of the Aisle is coming up next if you're listening to our radio broadcast. If you're listening to the podcast version, I have no way of predicting what's up next. Stay well, do your part, solidarity. Join us again next week.